Today I want to bring to you a message, and this message is titled, Do Not Throw Away Your Confidence. And do not throw away your confidence. And it's a call to perseverance. A call to perseverance, as we have heard. Certainly you and I can agree to the reality of the difficulties of the times in which we live. Things are difficult. Very difficult. And people are losing hearts. And so this message is an exhortation to people like you and I who might have been doing it tough, as it was also to the original readers of this text. Those people to whom the writer wrote those times. And it was a word of comfort and encouragement to embolden them the more so that they come out victorious from the trials and the troubles they were facing during that time. And it should be also a word of comfort and encouragement to you and I so that we can emerge also victorious and strong and faithful to our Lord and to the calling he has given us. And this confidence is the faith that we have in all that God has revealed to us, revealed about himself and revealed about us and all that he has done for us. And we will hear about this more and more as we progress. Or you may say to me that I'm really doing well and I don't need any encouragement, and I'm super strong and encouraged, and everything is going well. Well, I tell you, the Bible is for now and for tomorrow and forever. If you are not experiencing any difficulty now, and then it is a word for you so that you remember when you come, when temptations and troubles come your way. For there is no human being here on earth who will not face challenges, believer or not. Because the world is sinful. It's subjected to decay and sin. Because this word was written to these people, and we read in verse 32 of chapter 10, which says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. There were Christians who were suffering. They were persecuted and they were scattered in exile. They ran from their traditional lands. This letter was written to the Hebrews, the Jewish Christians who fled their original homes because of the persecutions in the first century. And the Bible says that they were suffering. Sometimes were publicly exposed to insult and persecution, publicly. Perhaps, I don't know whether you have experienced something like this. But in their time, that was the realities. And if perhaps we are facing different form of persecutions, well, something similar to this is happening to our brethren around the world. If you have been listening to 96.3, you would have heard of the persecution that the Christians are facing in China and Iran and in many places, Pakistan, even the Iraq, even the number of the believers has dropped completely. Some of them have gone away, have gone to exile, but some of them were murdered. So the writer was reminding them that you were exposed to insult and persecution. And other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. As a brother, as a believer, you sympathize with those who were being persecuted as a brother and a sister in the Lord. For we are called to this. We are one in this together. So you sympathize with those in prisons and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Those people, they were real things people have experienced. Well, in our days today, we might be experiencing something different, but That is so difficult also for us. You know, now we are living these days, the political parties in our country here, they are plotting, they are working day and night behind the scenes to legislate laws that will make it so difficult for Christians to live comfortably in this country. And also they are just opening doors for immoralities and legislating to legalize same-sex marriages and also legalize brothels and all sorts of things. And our televisions today is not a good place to go. So to such a people, the writer wrote, and to us also, he writes in whatever we might be experiencing, discriminations at workplace, all sorts of things. So this letter was written to encourage them not to lose heart, not to lose heart, because you have come to this wonderful experience. So you have to remember this. So you have suffered. You have suffered. And also, we have also our personal struggles. We have our personal struggles, the struggles with faith and direction in life, calling. What is the Lord laying on my life? What is the type of calling that the Lord is laying on my life? Who to marry? Where to live? What type of ministry I should do? These can be really challenging to people and can cause you to abandon even your confidence and your faith. So we need a word from the Lord and a word of encouragement. And the word is, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Do not throw away your confidence, your boldness to live as a believer. Do not throw it away. And now I'm coming to see why this is so important. Firstly, he reminds them in verse 19. He reminds them of their confidence, their boldness to come into the very presence of God. This is what he says. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, to enter into the presence of God. So we have this confidence. We have this reality, this boldness, this something just so normal for you to do. It's something at your disposal. You have access. And if you let go of this confidence that you come before the very presence of the living God, just imagine you coming before God, face to face, the mighty God, the God we read of earlier this morning, the God who reigns, who got all the keys. If you come before him, he will see through your nerves, your minds, your soul, and everything. He will see omniscience God. He will see everything. Everything is bare before him. Even the writer of Hebrews says that. Everything is bare before him. And why it is a word of encouragement? Because these people are reminded of something wonderful. Something amazing. If they lose sight of, they run the risk of being left to their own and to troubles and even more sufferings. You have access to the most holy place. And this language is an Old Testament language. The most holy place is a reference to the temple during that time. The temple was made of different rooms. You have the Holy of Holies and you have the holy place. And you have also the outer court where the public can come and offer their sacrifices. But the Holy of Holies was the only place to enter by the high priest, the most high priest. The most high priest will enter into the Holy of Holies. And once a year, you talk about restrictions today. Well, that was very restricted. Was very restricted. We are restricted only for small things, You see, from each other's, even we might not have COVID-19, but still we are restricted from each other's. How about if we are restricted from coming before God, our Creator, our loving Heavenly Father? That will be a disaster. And And then it was restricted, and it was only for the high priest to enter, and not without a blood, the blood. And so he would just come with the blood in his hands, we are told in chapter 5. And for the people, to intercede for the people, to offer on the behalf of the people. And the Bible says also, he will have, he himself included in that sacrifice, because he is clothed with weakness, the Bible says. He is a fallen creature. He needs redemption. So this person needs redemption. So he comes with the blood. And now the writer is reminding these people, he says to them, well, we have something better than this. You have access by the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. So this blood is precious. It's not like the bloods of goats and bulls. It's a spotless blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This is one. Because this blood has made it possible for you to be forgiven. It did work. The blood of the bulls in the past, they didn't work because they were repetitive. If they were sufficient, they shouldn't have been repeated. And also the high priest was he kept coming. He didn't rest at all. But Jesus Christ, he finished his ministry and he entered even into the Holy of Holies. And he sat at the right hand side of the power and telling us that his ministry is finished, is accomplished. His blood is accepted as the down payment, as the payment for our sins. The price as conditions of redemption. Because the believers in the Old Testament, what they had was only the shadows. The bloods of the bulls were pointing to the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what he told them in the first verse of chapter 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. And now we are in the midst of the good things. You should be encouraged. You should be encouraged. That is what he is telling them. And this is what I'm telling you. You should be encouraged. Sometimes we seek encouragement from other places and we go away even more discouraged. We go away even more discouraged. The Old Testament believers, they had only shadows of the realities. But the realities, the New Testament believers have enjoyed in the past and should continue to enjoy now. Even those who are to believe, they will enjoy this privilege. They didn't make them perfect, because it says like those sacrifices, they were repeated endlessly year after year. They can never perfect those who draw near to worship, those who draw near to God. But you have been perfected, not because of you, but the blood of Jesus is perfect. And Jesus Christ, on the account of his blood, he offered his blood and he was accepted into the Holy of Holies. And he invited us on the account of his blood. We are his friends. He said, come with me. And so when we come to God, God does not look to us. He looks to Jesus. He looks to the blood of Jesus. Do you have the blood? I think we used to sing that song. Are you washed, isn't it? Are you washed in the blood, in the precious blood of the Lamb? Are you resting? You can go on and doing it. Are you washed? When I used to sing it, one day we were singing it in the church. We were sitting, a dear brother and friend who has gone to be with the Lord, Ken Martin, was sitting next to me. And we were singing it with great joy because of the effect of the blood of Jesus that has brought it clearer to us that we have been accepted. You should be encouraged. And when you come into the presence of God with all your problems, see, God answers to all your problems. Sometimes the problems are not solved, but something radical takes place in our hearts. that we see that these things are not important. They are not definitive of our existence, of our joy and our perseverance. And we will hear more as we progress. So no restrictions for us to come into the presence of God. No restrictions like these COVID-19 restrictions. The Board of Management is doing very well in keeping us restricted. So it's good to listen and to encourage them in their role in their ministry. We are to fulfill all righteousness as people of God. Let us press on. This confidence was delivered to us, the writer says, because Jesus broke also his own body. He did not only shed his own blood, but also his body, because the reference here is in verse 19 says this. Because we enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. Why the blood and the body now? Because you remember the curtain which separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. That curtain was really the divide. That was the dividing point between the people and the presence of the Most High God. And that was pointing to Jesus, because the book of Hebrews is a contrast between the New Testament and the Old Testament. The New Covenant and the Old Covenant. This is a better covenant. The New Testament is better covenant because it founded on better things. Not curtains that were separating us, but the body of Christ, Jesus, on the cross, when he was dying, the curtain broke from the top to the bottom, indicating that now the door has been opened, because Jesus broke his body, the curtain which divided the holy place from the most holy, symbolizes the body of Christ when our Lord was breathing his last, that was torn. And we read that in Mark chapter 15. When he was dying, there was darkness. And the curtain really, Jesus was crucified outside the city. And yet, in the city, the temple, the curtain opened. The writer to the Hebrews is reminding his readers, and we are being reminded today, that the body of Christ was broken so that we have access. And thirdly, the things that he put for us should be an encouragement to us. He said to them, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, I alluded to that earlier, Jesus Christ, he offered his blood, his body, and he is also our most high priest. He replaced the old high priest once and for all. And he is there interceding for us, appearing before God for our very needs. For the Bible says in Hebrews 4 that for we do not have a high priest who is not sympathetic with us. He went through all these trials. You remember once he was here on earth and he faced opposition, great opposition. And yet he persevered so that he can purchase for us a redemption that will be so powerful to open the door for us to go into heavens, into these places. These are not for people who have not been enlightened. This encouragement is for believers. And there is an invitation for those who have not yet believed to come to Jesus so that they can have their sins forgiven. They can have access to the presence of God. So now the Most High Priest, Jesus Christ, he intercedes for you and I. Because we have Jesus as our Most High Priest, in Hebrews 4:16 said, we can come boldly into the throne of grace. That is the Holy of Holies. It's called the throne of grace, where we can receive help and mercy in our troubled times, in our times of need. For this is what Jesus Christ came to do for us. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Even use the word confidence. Confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There is help for us, for those who come, who have this confidence. But if you throw it away, you can't. If you throw it. So that you have heard me preach a few months ago that the blessing was in the no. Because Jesus didn't come to do what? He didn't come to do what? To bring peace and to bring division, you see. So the blessings was in the no. He divided us to himself. So our needs can be met. This is what the Bible says in Hebrews 14. So there is blessings. There is answers to our prayers when we come boldly into the presence of God. Because you are needy, you are going through sufferings, your house has been taken. It is true for others in other places. But perhaps for you, you know what you are going through. But even with that, it is time of need for you. And you need encouragement, but the encouragement is in the confidence. You don't look elsewhere. You need to come. You have this confidence. You have this access. Jesus, our most high priest, he prays for us. He prays with us. He appears before God. You need to remember these three things: his blood, his body, and his intercessory, his ministry. These things will land you before the throne of God. So much the Lord has done for them. Now for them, the readers, the listeners, those who have received this message, they have to maintain this confidence and not throw it away, not to lose heart. He urged them saying, once more, because you have this. Because you have this. And now he moves to develop his arguments more and more. He says to them, instead of sitting, let us draw near to God. Now, let us draw near. Do it. One of my troubles always is when I spend more time thinking about my problems. That is where really I struggle. That is where I find it so difficult to have peace in my heart or even to do anything right. That is when I have troubles. But when I come to God and seek him, even if he is not solving my problems, I find rest. And that is the invitation for all of us today. So because we have all this, let us draw near to God. This is what he is telling them. And this is what the scriptures is telling to us now. Let us draw near to God. Let us just seize the opportunity. Let us come to God. Let us draw near to God. And of course, you would see that he's saying earlier that when we come to God, into his presence, we must have sincere heart, a heart that is not the heart that is cleansed, a heart that is clean, a heart that is full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. This is an Old Testament language, because the Old Testament priests, they used to wash their hands, their bodies, symbolizes the purity that comes with the work of Christ in our lives, the purity of our souls, even the purity of our body. So he's just making this contrast, saying when we come in this way, because Jesus' blood is sufficient to wash us clean, and our bodies, even our minds and our souls and our heart. And we are to draw near. So this is what he's urging them. Draw near to God. Come near to him. Let us enter. But let us not have double-minded. Let us have faith like James 1. James 1. When he says, when you come, if you have trouble, come and pray and ask wisdom if you ask. But when you ask, you should have faith. You should have faith. Don't come with doubts. This is what it's saying. If you come with doubts, the Bible says, you should not think you will receive anything from the Lord. Because that double-mindedness is not accepted. So we are encouraged to come with sincere heart, to do not hesitate, to come and to come wholeheartedly in full assurance of faith, and to find answers to our prayers and to our problems. And now he went on to tell them also, not only just only to draw to God only, but also to hold firmly to the hope we profess, to hold firmly to something. You know, when you are crossing the road with your child, you hold firmly to their hands. And they hold firmly to that. And if anything happens, you lose their hands. Just in a busy road, say like 100 freeway. No one goes crosses the freeway, isn't it? But some do sometimes. And we do a lot of things that look like we are crossing freeways. But we are called like this. We are called to hold firm to the hope we profess. To hold firm. This is what he said. To hold firm. To hold firm. How do you hold firm? Hold firm to the hope we profess. We hold by reminding ourselves that we have this and we should not look elsewhere. We continue to urge ourselves to believe and to trust. And the reasons we are urged to do that, because he says he is faithful. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. His promises. He said, if you hold to this, if you hold to your faith, let me give you examples. If you want to compete with people who are bribing, if you want to buy something and people are bribing, you might be tempted also to bribe so that you may buy whatever you are buying, isn't it? As Christians, we will be always tempted to do things that will help us have shortcuts, to be clever. But because we are not called to do that, and then as you remind yourself that I don't have to do this, so you are holding firm to your profession, to your confession, that you have come to Christ and that he took all your sins and he called you to live in a certain way. Not like the ways of the world, but to live as a righteous person. Allowing even your property to be confiscated. Allowing you to be publicly insulted and not to retaliate, not to pay evil for evil. This is holding firm to your faith and not to seek your own. This is holding firm to your faith and not to seek your own. But we will see further down that how practically we hold firm to this faith, to our faith. So the reasons God is faithful, he is not like a human to lie. What he has promised, he delivers. How many of you who have experienced the faithfulness of God in answering prayers and leading them all the way through difficulties, through struggles, through hard things? Let us hold firmly to the hope we profess, to the fact that he will reward us now and even in the future. He will not leave us to our enemies. He will not leave us to the circumstances to challenge us so badly. This is what he said to them. When you first believe, you had troubles. But he says to them, hold firmly. Hold firmly to the Lord, to the hope that you have in Christ. And also, these are means of holding to the confidence. Not only to hold firmly but also to consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. If we are not practicing this, then we run the risk of throwing away our confidence, because our confidence is freshened, is strengthened as we exercise our faith, as we live as the scripture says, as we encourage one another, as we consider encouraging one another. Because the Christian faith is a faith that is given to a group of people, and many of our encouragement always come from others, from our fellow brothers and sisters. This is how it has been designed. If you are doing it well on your own, that is an exceptional. But we are called to encourage one another. Like the apostles in the first place, in the first century, they were encouraging one another. They were walking together. And when one is put in the jails, they join together, they pray. And then the person will be released. And when he comes, he joins, and they pray, and God comes upon them. And so people who lose their confidence, they don't do this. They don't draw near to God. They don't hold firm to their professions. They don't spur one another or encourage one another to good deeds and to love. They don't love one another. Brothers, this message is a message of an encouragement. There is also a warning in verse 26 there. But even with this, there is also a warning that if we depart from this, why would we want to have a revival? Why we would want to enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ in our midst? We can't. We can't. Why there are no many people coming to our churches? Why there are no conversions? All these things, they come as a result of us holding fast to confidence we have, to the boldness we have. We are people who are drawing closer to God all the time, praying for one another, praying for the lost, praying for the needs of our brethren, and also moving to encourage and love one another, to share the things we have. Because we read that those people, they sympathize with one another. They suffered because members of their communities, members of the community of faith, were thrown to jail. They bore the burden of that as if they were themselves suffering. We need to get to a point where we will feel the pain of others who are believers. Once we get there, I'm not saying we are not doing that. On Sunday night, if you were here, many of us who were here, we felt it through our brothers who were praying for the needs of others. They were broken in prayers, and they led us to that. Because that is what happens. Because we have one spirit. When we join together, our God moves in heavens. He is expecting us to do these things, to hold to this confidence. I'm aware that you are wearing masks. I shouldn't drag on this, but this is very important. For myself, it would be so difficult for me to be here today if it was not for the love and the support of my friends. I owe a lot to my friends, those who have loved me. Coming into a new country was not easy. And especially when you are leaving behind a vibrant ministry, a people you love so dearly, a people I was sympathetic with too. I was feeling their pains. I was their teacher, those children, for some of you. Not too many people were here at my ordination, unfortunately. But you can still access the videos which was taken when I was coming out 20 years ago. There was a lot of crying. I mentioned that I didn't want to come to Australia, but I didn't know why the Lord just brought me here. And it's not just like to shed light on me or anything, but for every Christian, if you have known, if you have tasted the light, if you have been enlightened according to the language of this, if you have received light, it was so difficult. It was only through the grace and the blessings of my other friends. I mentioned to you few people. Dr. John Stott of England, he's a world-class, a well-known leader, Christian leader. He came to Australia in 2002. I met him. I read his Basic Christianity when I first became a Christian. And I told him, look, I've been here for 2 years. I have to learn English. I have to do a lot of things. I want to go back to where I was. And he urged me to be patient, to hold fast, not to throw my confidence. He said, be patient, learn English so that you can read more books. He said, then I took his word. And one thing also, I sought his counsel. I was a single man that time, and all the prayers were going up for me to find a wife. And one day I said to my dear friends, and I said to them, remember, John Stott is not married. He, until he went to the Lord, 90 years old, he never got married. And I shared with him how I told my friend that you are not married. And he laughed. He said to me, he got closer twice. And then he took my hands and he prayed for me. He prayed for me. Another Sudanese man, when things were so difficult, I was struggling, I was sharing with him. And he said to me, the calls of God are irrevocable. Just imagine. Those words sustain me. And also, what is things that sustaining you? I believe you have come through encouragement. And let alone even in this church, I have walked with most of you who were here from the very beginning, have prayed with me, have cried with me, have loved me, and have encouraged me. Even people in the Christendom in this country have done that. So that was to encourage me. That was to, so that I don't lose heart, so that I don't throw away my confidence. And so today a calling for you and for I is for us to exercise this. If you have never picked up a phone to call a friend or a brother in the Lord, you need to do this. We need to move in this direction because this is very crucial for us. If we are to make difference, if we are to stay tall in this nation, if we are to make our testimony so powerful, because these people we are reading of, they put a fight, not because they were unique in any way. They didn't have technology. They didn't have much like in our days. But perhaps the blessings of our times have become the barrier, the problem for us. And I was going to say that earlier. Perhaps your problem is that you don't have problem. So perhaps, and you don't know what to do with all that you have. But if you pray, the Lord will show you. If you enter into the most holy place, the Lord will take hold of you. For he delights in every child who comes to him. And he will give you an assignment. For there is, do you believe in the priesthood of all believers, Jesus, who has invited us into the throne of grace? He didn't invite us only to receive blessings and to be accepted by God. Also, he raised us into his position. He made us also even priest to God his Father, to intercede for others, to appear before God for others, being made a priest because of the high priestship or priesthood of Jesus Christ. You can do this by, in many ways, by lots of ways. God's plans for our blessing is that lots of our encouragement come from others. Other Christians to speak words of God to us, like my friend Johannes. The calls of God are irrevocable. The call of God are irrevocable. Jesus loves you so much. He saved you for a purpose. He wants to use you, royal diadem in his hands. I love the word that was used by King David when Saul and his son were killed. He lamented that, and he said, the instruments of war have fallen. Every believer is a weapon of war for my blessings. So you can do that. Let us consider how we may spur one another. Let us not give up meeting together. Well, sometimes it's good to be on your own in your sanctuary. But actually, we are called to be a people who should not neglect meeting together. And if we are not meeting together as believers, we can be encouraged. We can hold fast to our confessions. It will be very difficult on your own. So some people have that habit of neglecting, but we should not be of those. So to encourage one another, when we meet together, we aim to encourage one another. So you recently, or even yesterday, our Prime Minister, he was encouraging the New South Wales. He said to them, we all get through this together. This is Scott Morrison. He was encouraging them. He saw that they needed encouragement from their Prime Minister, a person with responsibilities. Even though as a Christian, so for us today, when we do this as Christians, we have the Spirit of God in us. And when you say to a believer, we are in this together, you come with resources. You see, you come with resources. And certainly you can change your situation. How often your situation has changed because believers have come into your aid with their prayers, with their love, and with their presence. And God support them when they do that because it's honorable to him. It honors him because he commands us not to neglect this because he shows grace through this. Scott Morrison did this. And we should do this as well. Let us not give up meeting together. Have you have given up meeting with others in the recent years? I know it has been identified in the Western world that this the early church style is fading away. People are busy, are adapting into new ways of doing church in houses perhaps because it's more comfortable. And also, directly you can't help those who come. There is this spirit of community, togetherness. When people come into your home, you serve them with everything that you have. You will love them dearly. You will show, you will have more time to share. They share with you their needs. And so you can register with them. And so if we don't meet regularly together, how can we register with people? How would we know their needs? How can we show our love for them, our support for them? So people had habit like that. Well, I have explained to you enough how these sections from 1 to 25 was designed to encourage those people to press on with their Christian faith and also for us today. Because of the blood of Jesus shed for us, because of his body and his priesthood, highly priesthood ministry. We can come with boldness, with exhortation, but also with this, the writer will not fail to throw, and I want to finish with that, to throw a bit of warning in verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning by not doing all that I have said, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. No. You need to remember the blood of Jesus was shed once and for all. He died once and for all. He entered into the throne of grace, the Holy of Holies, once and for all. And he sat once and for all, awaiting that time to come for him to come and to inaugurate the kingdom. So he has done everything. And the warning is for us, if we deliberately keep on not doing all that we are called to do, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So we will be considered among those who are against God. And God doesn't want us to do that. And so the encouragement for us is to press on, and what also should really be a buffer or an encouragement for us, a reason, is because also we would not want to be judged. We want to please God. Because anyone who rejected the mercy, and he is comparing the Old Testament, who rejected the mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses, they were put to death according to the law of Moses. That was their time. And even the writer is saying this is not severe enough. He said, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, rejected the grace, rejected the work of Christ, this redemption, this salvation that we have received. So the warning is that we don't go that way. Practical ways to finish with. Our weapons is the confidence, is this boldness. We have nothing else. You remember we read in Exodus, when Moses was going through the Red Sea, all that he had was the staff. And he was told by the Lord God to struck the water or to use his staff, and the water were open. Raise your staff, the Lord says to him. Raise your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea. And the sea was divided. He used that. Well, the Old Testament religion is symbolism, full of symbolism. So what are we to use in our days today? Well, we are being urged not to throw away our confidence, because it will be greatly rewarded now and then. That is verse 35. That is the climax of this text. We've seen also, even Moses, he used that again in Exodus 17. When also they were thirsty, the Lord said to him, use the staff again, strike the rock, and the water gushed out, and they drank. And also we have seen this with Joshua. The Lord will just give him, use what you have. We have a lot of resources within us that are available for us. We are to use them. Joshua used that when they were attacking Ai, that is small city, for the second time. Because the first time they failed, because they threw away their confidence. They didn't leave as believers. 36 of them were killed. But the second time when they came, the Lord said to him, use that staff in your hand. Point to the city. And the city came down and they overtook that. What do you have? Do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw away your confidence. And today this is the word of encouragement to us. Not to look elsewhere, but to move and to press on with what has been given to us, so that we can make advances in our personal lives. Even you need a wife, you pray. You need a job, you pray. You enter into the throne of God. You need to hear where the Lord is leading you. It's possible today. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. Do not throw away your confidence. Let us meet together. Let us encourage one another. Let us hold fast to the faith we have. Let us pray. Lord our God, I want to thank you for this time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your precious blood. I thank you for your blood, body broken for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you sat on the throne. We thank you, Lord, that we can come boldly with confidence into the throne of grace to receive help in our time of need. Lord, we have troubles. Many of us who are here today have many needs. We pray, Lord God, that we may learn to come truly in sincerity of faith to seek your face. Lord, I pray that you make it a reality in our hearts. Give us grace. Show us grace to be able to seek you and to enter into your presence. Lord God, for you are faithful. You are faithful to honor the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us, Lord, persevere in our troubles and in our problems, and even to find help from you. For help from you is far better than any help that we receive from the world. Father God, we want to pray as a Christian church in this country that you help us, O Lord God, to go back to the fundamentals, to go back to the principles, to go back to the foundation. So, Lord, open up your word to us in our homes. Give us opportunity to show love to others, to one another, as your body, and also that we may put a witness in the communities around us so that they may come as they see the light of God shining in us. They may come to know the Father in heaven. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, forgive us our sins, we pray. Sins of complacency, sins of lethargic in our spirit, sins of laziness in seeking after you, believing that we may do it ourselves. So, Lord, forgive us, we pray. Deliver us and lead us in the way eternal, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.